I love a good R&B song. Can you feel it? Can you feel R&B kind of? You like R&B music? Raise your hand if you like R&B music. Raise your hand if you don't like R&B music. Let me listen to the sounds of like Barry White. Can you hear Barry White now? Or Brian McKnight. Ever heard of him? I've been watching the latest season of Celebrity Apprentice, and last week Brian McKnight sang. He's one of the contestants, but he sang, and because of his song and the presentation that he sort of directed, the men won. They'd lost to the women's team several times, but he really belted it out. And Barry White, Brian McKnight, they sing these R&B love ballads that just, you know, they celebrate people in love. Now, Barry White's are a little more dirty, you know. They are. Brian McKnight's not so much, but this week's reading from Jeremiah 31, it has sort of a love ballad feel to it, a little bit. You can hear maybe the smooth tones of a good singer with every bit of their soul, but I'm going to let out the not-so-smooth tones of a me in a love song version of this. And I was thinking it was a sort of an R&B song, but man, I cannot pull off R&B, even though I like it. I can't pull it off very well, but I'm going to try. And so this is, see, guitar, you know, acoustic guitar sounds more like a folk R&B song. Is there such a thing? Folk R&B? Maybe. All right, here. I don't know if I can do it. I'm a little nervous because I've never sung this song in front of people. What'd you say? I could do it. All right. I will write it on your heart, even though it broke apart. There's no teaching left to do, because you know I love you. Well, a brand new slate will start. It don't matter who you are, because my love is always true. And remember, I love you. I don't have this part. And it keeps going on and on. And you know, you add some driving words to that chorus and then a last verse, and then you've got a really sappy, folky love song kind of a thing. Got it? So if we added like a singer and some more words and more instrumentation, what do you think? We got a sappy love song? You ready? We can have the Jeremiah, maybe it's called Jeremiah 31, but it's Jeremiah 31, at least this part of it, has this love song stuff to it. And, whoa, maybe you need something to get that awful sappiness out of your head, though. Or that you don't want that tune in your head, do you? It's probably in there a little bit. Sometimes they're earworms. Maybe it's not good enough for that. But you could do like, just an old-fashioned love song. Wait, just an old-fashioned How does it go? There it is. Just an old-fashioned love song, coming down in three-part harmony. Just an old-fashioned love song, one I'm sure they wrote for you and me. Now you know that one, right? That's an old-fashioned love song, sort of folky by who? Three Dog Night. Yes, very good. They knew how to write songs. I mean, songs that meant something, a lot of them love songs. And do you know that Three Dog Night is still performing? They're older now. And they haven't had like a new hit since about 1975. They released a record in 2004. But last night, they played in Cleveland, the home of the United Church of Christ. So, how connected is that? I don't know how it is, but And the two songs that we have sung this morning, the ones that were not really like religious songs, both from Three Dog Night. Both released in 1971. Never knew you'd get that kind of trivia from the pulpit on a Sunday, did you? What was the first one? Yeah, so we're going to sing that again. Come on, you want to do it. You do, don't you? Oops, sorry.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. Never understood a single word he said, but I helped him drinking his wine. Yes, he always had some mighty fine wine.
Okay, stop. I just wanted to do that part. It's going to be in your head, though, isn't it? All right, Jeremiah 31:31-34. This part of the Bible here, all of Jeremiah, is this really kind of a nasty story. I mean, it's about you have done wrong. All of this bad is happening to you. But we get to Jeremiah 31, and now it's past the nastiness. It's past the pain. It's past the anguish. And something new is coming. It's not like it was before either. Not like the new that it was before. And I've talked about the everlasting covenant, and that doesn't get canceled. You know, the everlasting covenant with Abraham, it doesn't get canceled. But God says, you know, I'm doing something new. It's not going to be like the last time where it just got broken apart. This time, it's going to be written on your hearts. It's going to be deep in your hearts. It's going to be like in your DNA, even though the Bible doesn't say DNA. But, you know, it's like it's going to be just woven through you so much that it cannot be separated from you. So this forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation of God, and I've talked about that before. Remember the whole theme of the Bible? You could say it, like God what? Creates, yeah, and then what do? We mess up, and then what does God do? Creates, restores, redeems, forgives. What do? Yeah, and you think that you find that in the New Testament a lot, because you do. You know, you've got the loving God, and you've got Jesus talking about loving your neighbor and loving God, and there's a whole lot of love in the New Testament. And a lot of people think of the Old Testament as the part where God's mean, you know, the angry and wrathful God. But here, this is Jeremiah, this is Old Testament stuff, and you've got God with restoration and reconciliation and forgiveness. It's time to change directions if you think that the Old Testament is the mean God and the New Testament is the nice God. Because all through the Bible, it's woven all the way through there. God creates, we mess up. God redeems, we mess up. God forgives, we mess up. It's completely evident in the whole book of Jeremiah with all the nastiness going on and then little bits of, but a good thing is coming. And especially right here in this passage today, God says, I'm doing something new. Something exciting, something that's going to be in your DNA. And this time, it seems very final. Although, we know, because Jeremiah was written a long time ago, that God says, I'm doing something new. It's going to be written deep in your hearts. You're not going to forget it. And guess what we did? We forgot it. Yeah, we forgot it. It's as if, though, in this part, it says that reconciliation isn't going to be necessary anymore. But it is still necessary. But notice, there's something else in here that God says, I'm going to do this, and it's going to be in your very soul, in your DNA, in deep in your hearts. But he doesn't say, God doesn't say, if this doesn't work, forget it. Because that's not what God does. That's what we do. We mess up. We keep throwing up our arms. You probably threw up your arms this week at something like, forget it, I'm not doing this anymore. Or this is not worth it. Or anything. God doesn't say that. God doesn't go, this is not worth it. No throwing up the arms. It's just like all of this redeeming, restoring. God is still redeeming. God is still forgiving. God is still restoring. God is still reconciling. God is still listening. Do you ever wonder that sometimes, though, when you pray? And by the way, prayer isn't necessarily just, dear God, thank you for this food, or I'm setting aside this particular time to pray and talk to God. I mean, reading the Bible is a form of prayer. Singing is a form of prayer. Shouting out in anguish to nobody is a form of prayer. saying, "This is so great," is a form of prayer. I know that, you know, some people don't believe in God and they say that too, and you're like, "Well, I'm not praying if I'm doing that." All right, so they're not talking to God, but God hears it. I mean, there's some communication going on. So whether a person is religious or not, whether a person believes in God or not, whether a person is Christian or Hindu or Jewish or Muslim, and they cry out to God, I mean, that's a prayer. It still is a prayer, and God is still listening to all of the prayers. But, you know, what about the prayers of people that say, "Please rain down terror on my enemies"? Yeah, God hears those. I don't think that God listens and goes, "Yeah, that's a good idea." I don't think that's what happens. But God hears the prayers of, you know, we've been reading the Psalms during this time of Lent, and there's times in the Psalms where it says stuff like that. And I said, go ahead, pray them. Pray the whole thing, even where you're uncomfortable, and acknowledge where you're uncomfortable with stuff. God hears the prayers. And I think God gets our hearts. God gets our motivations, even if we don't understand it. You know, and if our motivations are really nasty, I don't think that God responds that way. And God's not like this, you know, put the coin in and get the prize out kind of thing anyway when you pray. But I think that God hears it. God listens. God responds in some way. We just get to pray. God is still speaking too. That's this big thing in the United Church of Christ, the big comma. Is there anything in, is there a comma in the bulletin today? I don't think so. It's just hearts. And you got religion and economics on the back there. But God is still speaking is this whole movement within the United Church of Christ and beyond that. I've got friends that are in different denominations saying, "Hey, I used that God is still speaking stuff in church the other day." I was like, "Thanks, that's cool. You call it God is still speaking stuff. That's fun." Sometimes we have the question, are we listening when God is still speaking? Are we receiving it when God is still forgiving? Are we experiencing it when God is reconciling? Are we listening when God is still speaking? I don't know, because we always mess up. Remember, that's our job. But God is still speaking, and speaking is more than just like words. We talk about the Constitution, the rights we have to free speech, and how we interpret that so far as to mean we can write stuff down, we can express ourselves. Even such things that are as abhorrent as flag burning are protected by the right to free speech. You know, as much as you hate to see something like that, you say, well, it's an expression as nasty as that is. So when God is still speaking, it's not that God is doing abhorrent things. I don't want to say it that way. But God is still speaking. It's God is still inspiring. And God is still moving in the world. I mean, there's still creation going on. There's still knowledge that we don't have that is growing. And God is still inspiring us to know more and more. And when we mess up, God is still forgiving. We're just a few weeks away from Easter. 2 weeks. Can you feel it? How many of you have shopped for Easter baskets? Anyone? Okay, did you figure out places to hide them? Talia's not going to have to look very far. It's like, it's right here, and here's the little electronic chick thing that when you put in your hand, it makes the little sound, right? And then she thinks that's really cool, and you pick, you have one of those? You have one of, because I had little kids, and we got them for our kids. So did you really get one of those, David? Yeah? Something like that? What else have you done for Easter? Buy new outfits yet? Take kids to buy new outfits? No? Aw. An Easter egg tree. Okay, I don't know what that is. Tell me about it. Well, eggs kind of, and they're, oh, cool. So you've got that started, or it's already done? It's done, so it's going to have 2 weeks, and they last, so that works. How many of you have Easter egg hunts on Easter morning with kids or adults, too? How many of you find an Easter egg about 6 months later? It's like, oh, there's that one, and it was the one with the melty stuff in it. Ew. Yeah, or it's the one with the $5 in it. Yay! You know, the kid didn't find that one. So you do that. My brother-in-law who lives in Sandwich and my sister, we've had Easter egg hunts. We don't always do them on Easter because my parents are in town at different times of the year. So sometimes we're doing an Easter egg hunt in like August. But then come around like June the next year and we're like, hey, there's one of those Easter eggs that has Allie's name on it. Or, you know, one of my nieces or nephews on there. Easter's just a couple weeks away. And you can feel the anticipation because Easter is an exciting time. It's not like the big piles of presents time, but it's still an exciting time for a couple reasons. I mean, one is kids love Easter. You know, little girls put on cool dresses and boys like kick because they got to put on a suit with suspenders and stuff like that. But you get Easter baskets and kids have to find them and you got the little chick thing in your hand there. And Peeps. I mean, who doesn't like Peeps? Yeah, see, a lot of people don't like Peeps. For those of you who don't like Peeps, it's really cool to watch them in the microwave. So you can, some people like Peeps. You know what Peeps are, right? Everyone? Peeps. You don't know what Peeps are? You do too. You do. You can take a graham cracker and a little bit of chocolate bar and a marshmallow Peep and then another graham cracker and you put it in the microwave for about 15 seconds and it makes a really cool Peep s'more. That was the microwave thing I was talking about. But if you're more, you know, I hate Peeps, if you just put them on a plate and put them in the microwave, they like, you know, blow up in the microwave and stuff like the marshmallows do. Like 30 seconds like that, it's kind of, if you really don't like Peeps. You don't eat them after that, though, because they're too hot. You will vulcanize your tongue to the roof of your mouth, so don't do that. Easter, exciting. So it's exciting from that standpoint. And kids love that stuff. I mean, Easter bunnies, great, all that stuff. But it's also exciting because it's what we've been preparing for in remembering that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, it's the foundation of our religion. Without the resurrection, the birth means nothing. Well, not nothing, because Jesus lived and Jesus, you know, did all of this great stuff and healed people and taught people. And the What Would Jesus Do bracelets, or the one that Jesus wore, the WWID bracelet. Yeah, he used to wear that one when, with the disciples because he'd look and be like, oh, yeah, well, here's what I would do. I made about three people laugh. That's score for me. He did important stuff, but Christianity, without the resurrection, Christianity wouldn't have been something that held that same meaning long term. You know, so Jesus is resurrected, and now we've got a religion that makes the birth important, that makes the events of Jesus' life even more important. And it makes Easter really, really, really important because it's the reason we celebrate Jesus' resurrection then, but it's also the reason we're worshiping on Sunday every week. According to Hebrew custom, the Sabbath is the seventh day. The seventh day is Saturday. And we have Seventh-day Adventists that still use, you know, the seventh day, and they say we got to adhere to that. But, you know, a few hundred years after Jesus, we sort of switched to worshiping on Sunday. The sole purpose was to celebrate the resurrection every week. It's why it's on Sunday. Jesus rose on the third day. This is the third day, not 3 days later. I know the scientific people would be like, you know, it wasn't actually 24, 36, it was, you know, Friday to Sunday is really just a day and a half, and that's true. It was on the third day, not 3 days later. You got it, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so the third day. Sunday, now it's our Sabbath now, and since Sabbath just means seven, one out of every 7 days, so we can do it on Sunday, and God's cool with that for more than just the resurrection meetings. One day out of seven, take a rest. So that's what we do, and I take Fridays off almost every week. Right, Ginny? Except occasionally. And if I have to work on a Friday, I try to figure out a way to have Sabbath on other days too. We're just a couple weeks away from Easter now. The celebration with the Easter baskets and the bunny and the eggs and the pussy willow trees, the Easter egg trees. And also the celebration of Jesus' resurrection. It's okay to celebrate both of them. It's sort of written in our DNA when we're born, isn't it? That Easter's a really exciting time. Not every religion has that, but in Christianity, it's just sort of woven through that Easter is a good time to celebrate, and it's a time to have fun. And for some people, it's a time to have ham dinner, and for some people, it's time to have turkey, and for some people, it's time to have big gatherings of a whole bunch of people. But Easter is a time where we smile. Church is usually really lively on Easter, you know, an Easter sunrise service with a drama this year. Ooh, cool. And then a celebration worship service with the choir like on fire and really going there, and people dressed up. You know, we don't have a dress code here, but it is really cool on Easter Sunday to see people in like these really, really cool outfits. And the hats, oh, the hats. The Easter hats are cool. I don't ever see any guy hats really for Easter. But who's going to wear an Easter hat? No one? No Easter hats? Okay, thank you, Stevie. You're going to wear an Easter hat. During Lent, we forget about this part. Forget is the wrong word. We're anticipating this part. But we're also, we're building up to it. It's this penitent time. It's not a time where we're celebrating or wearing the bright, sunshiny hats. We're just preparing for what is to come. We're getting glimpses of the hope, the forgiveness, the reconciliation, the restoration, the redemption. We're getting glimpses of this hope. And in that hope, we remember that each time we mess up, God does what God does so well, right? We get to start anew, just like in the Jeremiah passage. Look at that, right at the end there. It says, "This covenant I'll make for those in those days. I'll put my law within them. I'll be their Lord. No longer shall they say, the least of them, the greatest. I'll forgive their iniquity and forgive their sin no more. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." God is continuing to do, but at Easter we're anticipating and getting ready for the excitement of God doing what God does so well. Get to start anew and remember that the things that we've messed up are forgotten. So we close the sermon today with what you wanted to do in the middle. Remember what it was? What did you want to do in the middle of the sermon? Yes, you did, but not the one that we sing on Christmas, right? The Three Dog Night one. So you got to get a clap going. No guitar for this one. It's a do that. Ready? Joy to the world, all the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishes and the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. Joy to the world, all the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishes and the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for celebrations. Thank you for getting ready. Thank you for letting us start anew each time we mess up, and you come and redeem, restore, rescue, and forgive us. Thank you that you look on our sins as forgotten. Amen.